Experience worship. True worship. Experience the Word, bringing you wholeness. Experience the warmth of fellowship. Experience wholeness at Lighthouse. Join us every Sunday and Wednesday at the Lighthouse, House 7, Plot 2/3, Kudrata Biola Way, Oregon, Ikeja, Lagos. Visit our website at www.lighthouseng.org or contact us at info@lighthouseng.org. The Lighthouse, lighting your pathway to destiny.
But when you understand that the death of Jesus is the demonstration of the love of God, he cannot undo it. God has demonstrated his love once and for all. So no matter what I go through, even at the lowest ebb of my life, my conviction of the love of God is the cross. So when things are going good, when they're not, I look at the cross, the love of God is steadfast. And everlasting. He cannot change his mind. So every day, every moment, every hour, ask me if God loves me and my answer is the same. Praise the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Say, God loves me this way. God loved me this way. He sent his son to die for me. Hallelujah. So let me ask. Sir, does God love you? How do you know?
Well, he sent his son to die for me.
Praise the Lord. Kato fraktosh. Fereni goes vraninonski testosh varatesh. Hallelujah. And I will manifest my love even deeper and greater to you, says the Lord. And you're going to enter into a season of miracles where things that you have been trusting for will come easily, says the Lord. Things you've prayed about and trusted for in every aspect of your life, says the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Say, God loves me. He proved it on the cross. Glory to God. Also, another very crucial thing to learn from John 3:16 is this. The love of God is not just demonstrated by the death of Jesus, but by the simplicity of the requirement for salvation. Do you know what it means? I don't know. Maybe you've been in church long enough, but maybe you don't still get. When we talk about eternal life, what do you think it is? That's a big deal. You mean I can live forever? I can live forever? That I can get to a point where death is not final in my life. It's just a transition. Such a transition where the apostles even begin to talk about it lightly. Paul tells the church at Thessalonica, he says, I heard that some people slept. He didn't call it die. He says, and you are crying. Why are you crying like people who have no hope? He said, I don't understand. Let me explain again to you. He says, at the trump of God, the dead in Christ will rise first. And we that are alive after them at his coming. So this is, let me tell you something. Heaven is not your final destination. There is going to be a new earth in which you will live with a new body. So, I mean, we're talking about continued existence. What will you give to be with the people you love forever? What will you give? Before, when you were without Christ, when someone dies, you feel it so much. But now you can say, see you again, bro. That's a big deal. What will you pay for that? According to Egyptian mythology, the poor cannot have eternal life. Because they believed that you must go with enough gold. That's why in their pyramids, they were buried with their possessions. Because they believed that at the gate to eternal life, they will ask, the angel there will say, so what are you bringing? And you will now bring your gold. If they weigh it, it's not heavy enough. They say, hellfire. That's what they preached. That's what they preached. If you watch films well, what I just said is portrayed there. Praise the Lord. But now, God offers eternal life in Christ Jesus. And what do I need? Sir, how high do I jump? How deep do I dig? It says that whosoever believes. Hey! Whosoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting, never-ending life. So, all I have to do is to believe. Oh, you know, I was leading a Muslim to Christ. You know, I explained. She said, I believe all you're saying, but just show me one place where the Bible says Jesus is God. So, after I had shown her about 25, she said, so, what can I do to be saved? I said, believe. Do you believe what I just said? She said, I believe. What else? I said, that's it. Whosoever believes in him, whosoever, boy, woman, adult, child, rich, poor, whosoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. Listen, the simplicity of the requirement of salvation is the grace of God. The simplicity, the fact that it's so simple, that's the grace of God. All I have to do is believe. That's grace. That's grace. In our community, we work for everything. In fact, if people will like you, it will take some work many times. In the office, you know what you are saying. Praise the Lord. But he says, all I have to do to be in his favor forever, to live forever, to have his spirit living in me, the spirit of God living in me, all I have to do is believe. That's big. Hallelujah. Can I tell you this? The simplicity of the requirement for salvation annoys religious people. It annoys them. Check who the friends of Jesus were. Check who he had the most arguments with. Religious folks. Some of us don't even understand the story of Jonah, for instance. You know, we think all my life I thought that Jonah, you know, was having what some of you are having here. The Lord has called you beyond lay ministry, and you are afraid. Ah, how will I get venue? How will I, you know, you thought that's what happened to Jonah. That God said, go and preach. And he was having cold feet. So he went the opposite direction. You think that's what happened? It's not true. It's not true. I will show you why Jonah didn't want to go when I'm done. But follow the story. The story is strange. First of all, Jonah went the direct opposite direction. Opposite. And then now there's a storm. Because God doesn't want him to go where he's going. And people cast lots and they know he's the one. And they ask, okay, what can we do? Jonah should have said, take me back and everything will be okay, right? You know what he said? He said, kill me. Jonah was so determined not to go and preach. He said, kill me. So you have to understand, Jonah expected to drown. So when you understand that, you will see that the fish swallowing him was the grace of God, not judgment. The fish swallowed him and said, you will preach that preach today. Let's go. Spat him mouth. They go preach. So Jonah went there angry. He just said, he didn't even talk about God. No long sermon. If you read it, he just said, all of you in the next few days will die. Man and animal and children. But to his greatest surprise, the king declared a fast. The Bible says even animals fasted. And so they were saved. Like any preacher who knows the grace of God, you know, you would have thought Jonah would rejoice and say, ah, God, thank you. See what you did. You saved an entire city. The Bible says Jonah was angry. You will now see why he didn't want to go in the first place. Look at Jonah chapter 4. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. I love Jesus. Jonah chapter 4, let's start from verse 1. Sorry, my note is misbehaving. Okay, Jonah chapter 4 from verse 1. The Bible says, but it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was angry. And he prayed unto the Lord, I pray thee, was this not my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish. For I knew that thou art a gracious God, merciful, slow to anger, and great kindness, and repentest thee of evil. When God said, now the people of Tarshish historically were very wicked. Very wicked. They oppressed people. So when God told Jonah to go and warn them, he knew God. He knew God is only sending him so that they will have a chance to repent. So he said, he said, these people are so wicked. If you want to kill them, kill them. Why do I have to go and warn them? Don't give them any notice. Let them just wake up and they are no more. So he said, I knew. He said, I know you. Jonah said, I know you. You are very merciful. You are very gracious. And so I'm angry. Have you seen people who are angry at the mercy of God? Can I tell you, many of them will be very angry in heaven. Because they will see some people. Hallelujah. Hey, glory. Listen, the goodness of God angers people. It angers people. Why? Why will you show mercy to these people? Pastor talked about the thieves who were crucified beside Jesus. These were people who had terrorized the village. Murderers, probably. And then one, that rascal, few moments before his death, just looked at Jesus and said, remember me in your kingdom. Listen, just to put things in perspective, you were the one, all right, that he stole from. Maybe he killed your sibling. And you came to the cross to say, you see, they've caught you now. Is this not you? Ooh, 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 ooh. And you're singing, every day for the thief, one day for the, you know. And then you hear that conversation. And it says to Jesus, remember me in your kingdom. And Jesus says, Jesus did not even say, okay, wait, let me think about it. Ah, you've done so many things. Ah, you've asked the hard thing. He didn't even say, okay, say after me. He didn't say, okay, first of all, you have to repent. He didn't call the people he sinned against and said, okay, start confessing. Just because he believed. Oh, really? Young thief, you mean you believe that I have a kingdom? You believe? And you want me to remember you? I say to you today. Hallelujah. This is your God. merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. Hallelujah. Listen, you have a ransom in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. David prophesied about you. He said, blessed is the man whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man whose sins God will not impute against him. Romans chapter 4 from verse 6. Who is that man? The Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away and all things are made new. It says, and all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and given unto us the ministry of reconciliation. It says, to wit that God was in Christ. Look at 2 Corinthians 5:19. We're going to read it together. We're going to read it together, and then I'll read one more verse, and then I'll be out of your face. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 5:19. Everybody read it together, loud as you can. One, two, go. To wit that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. It's the word of reconciliation. Hallelujah. God was in Christ, reconciling you, reconciling me, not imputing our trespasses. So according to God, someone died for them. They should never die again. This is no more about how perfect they are. Someone paid the price. They must be free. Listen, not only are you righteous, God is righteous for making you righteous. Because someone died for you, it is fitting that God should make you righteous. He cannot but make you righteous. Hallelujah. That's why the Bible says, blessed be God who has blessed us. What he has done in Christ Jesus tells you about himself. He is righteous for declaring us righteous. He is blessed for blessing us. It's a legal transaction. Someone died for me, I'll never die. So the question is, did Jesus die for you or not? Do you believe it? Okay, if someone died for you, will you ever die? Hallelujah. So give him the praise right now. Rise to your feet. Give him the praise right now. Just thank him. Give him the fruit of your lips. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Give him the fruit of your lips right now. Wherever you are in this room, give him the fruit of your lips. Pray in the spirit right now. He loves you. Boast about his love right now. Thank you, Lord. Boast about his love right now. I don't know about you, but you should be jumping and running about this place. Say, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed me. Ooh. In him I have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin. Hallelujah. That text again says, to wit that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and had given to us the word of reconciliation. Every minister of the gospel here present, God has given to you a word to preach. Don't preach anything other than what he has asked you to preach. He's given you a message of reconciliation, that God is not imputing sins. He's not imputing sins. Preach this message with boldness. This is the gospel. For God in this way loved the world. He gave his only begotten son, that whosoever, I don't know about you, that's my middle name. Hallelujah. I just didn't tell you, but my middle name is whosoever. Whosoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. I promise to read one more text and I'm out of here. Romans chapter 8, verse 32. Thank you, Lord. Pick your Bibles in your hands. I want you to read it from your Bible. Thank you, Lord. Romans chapter 8, verse 32. Are you there? Thank you, Jesus. Lady here has just been healed of abdominal pain. Abdominal pain and complications in your intestines. You've just been healed. Someone else has been healed of neck pain right now. Neck pain right now. You've been healed. You know what? In the next 10 seconds, do things you couldn't do before. Do things you couldn't do before. Thank you, Lord. You're going to see why now. Have you opened that text? Now read together, 1, 2, go. Hallelujah! So well, I told you that God gave his son to die for you. There is an also to that story. If he gave you his best, delivered his son up for you, how shall he not also with him freely give all things? Listen, as surely as God gave his son, any healing you need right now, you can freely receive. Hallelujah. And I came with healing gifts for people. So I give you 3 minutes. Touch that part of your body that needs a healing now. I command barren wombs to open right now. Fibroid is healed right now. Everyone scheduled for an operation, place your hand on yourself. Katon de reba cactus. Kenemons. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Now, this the love of God is easy. It's not mechanical, okay? Just receive. See, just put your hand there and receive. Say, thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Now, in the name of Jesus, I speak to your body. I speak to every ailment, every disease, no matter what it is called, every deficiency, every symptom of distress. And in the mighty name of Jesus, I command every pain to leave you right now in the name of Jesus. From the crown of your head to the sole of your feet, perfection comes to you. The strength of God is infused into that body. Let every weak spine receive strength. Let every weak bone receive strength. Let anything that needs to grow, grow right now. Let anything that needs to disappear, disappear right now. Migraine headaches are healed right now. Eye defects are corrected right now. The power of God is on you strong. I give you just 20 seconds, 20 more seconds. Receive right now. The angels of God are ministering right now. Strong. Thank you, Lord. Sekito sari kalamando kubakteo se kilando kupraktelo sheneno kinama kinanando kukakteno se. Kilamando kukakteno salama kiramata kilamaku pretakteno kino kilamakta se sino karaturo krenano kinamaku reisakteno kinamatakte filo shana nino karanono. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Now, for the next 20 seconds, you're going to rejoice like it's done. You're going to rejoice like you received something. Let me say this lest I forget.
there is going to be so much financial favor. So much financial favor. Someone here, you've been trusting for a visa, but it's just been granted you right now. So much financial favor. So I want to give you a few seconds. You're going to rejoice like it's done. Are you ready? Give the Lord a shout of praise right now. Woo! Thank you, Lord. Glory! 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 You are healed! You are healed! Woo! Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah! Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
This message is brought to you by Lighthouse Christian Outreach Center. The Lighthouse, House 7, Plot 2/3, Kudrata Biola Way, Oregon, Ikeja, Lagos. For inquiries, please log on to www.lighthouseng.org. For more,